Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Rebecca Berube, founder and CEO of Avenue 33 LLC. Avenue 33 provides litigation finance advisory services to funders, law firms, claimants, and investors. Prior to founding Avenue 33, Rebecca served as head of corporate affairs for a leading litigation arbitration fund manager with over $2 billion in AUM. Rebecca, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, John.
It's great to have you. Now, Avenue 33 is an advisory firm for funders, for lawyers, for claimants. Can you tell me the benefit for each of these three groups when utilizing an advisory firm?
Sure. It's a good question. One element of litigation finance that makes it a unique industry is that it's truly interdisciplinary. To get any deal done and really take it through a financing, which to me means sort of conceptualizing a need for financing, closing the actual deal, managing the investment throughout the life of the financing, and then ultimately getting to monetization, to a payout. It really necessarily requires a variety of expertise, right? There, you need obviously excellent litigators, you need capital from a funding source, and you need factual knowledge from the litigant. And these different parties come to the table with really different backgrounds and different expertise. So the truth is, communication can be really difficult and lead to a significant amount of inefficiencies and ultimately, unfortunately, a diminution of value at the table. So having an advisor there who understands the background, incentives, and knowledge of each stakeholder, you know, from experience, can really serve to level the playing field and actually save a significant amount of money over the long run. So, of course, the advisory services can take many different forms depending on, you know, the client we take on and that their particular needs. But, you know, they can be anything from structuring a deal, engaging in funding oversight, doing some relationship management, providing industry expertise, providing connections in terms of sort of the peripheral service providers out there who have started to pop up and can really provide really interesting services that save time and money. I mean, all of that stuff can be provided to these different stakeholders and can really make a significant difference in the ultimate value of any particular transaction.
Yeah, and what are some of the typical questions you get from, let's say, from lawyers and from claimants in regards to litigation funding? I'm just curious to know how knowledgeable these parties are about the funding industry and what types of questions, if they're really sophisticated questions or if they're more basic questions.
Sure. I mean, I think the reality is the more sophisticated players have less of a need for a consultant sometimes, right? So the questions I get are typically from people who know a little bit less, and that's why they're talking to me from the get-go. But I think often the questions that come up are about structure and about conflicts. I mean, those are some big sort of key hot button topics. But keep in mind that it's really the funders in the industry who have just inevitably the most experience and therefore the most knowledge of what litigation finance is. So it's really important for other stakeholders to sort of be brought up to their level when engaging in a deal. And that's really that's a particular place where I can be of service. And particularly with, as I was saying, with the less knowledgeable parties, right? New entrants to the market. That may mean law firms, right? Law firms who are taking on funding or portfolio funding for the first time. Or, you know, funders themselves who are entering into sort of new areas of funding or different types of funding. I've dealt with a lot of funders who have a significant amount of expertise, but have a particular area or question that they need help with or need some guidance with a particular client. And then, of course, the litigants who often come to the table, you know, as experts in something completely different, right? A widget maker who needs to sue someone, right? They don't have necessarily any experience with the industry. And so their questions are, you know, much more basic and fundamental. But I think there is, you know, everyone can kind of use a little help, particularly in this industry where, you know, it's generally slightly opaque because it is mainly unregulated. So in order to sort of avoid delay and avoid, you know, making mistakes, it's good to have somebody, you know, who's providing you guidance from experience. So the questions, you know, can vary depending on who's asking them and what the scenarios are. But as I said, typically it's the people and the parties who have less knowledge who need an advisor, you know, like me through Avenue 33.
When it comes to the options that law firms or claimants have when partnering with funders, you know, there's a lot of funders out there. There seem to be more popping up every day, or maybe not every day, but quite often now. And we expect a lot of new entrants into the market in the coming months and even years. So, you know, there are just a lot of options out there. What advice do you offer claimants and lawyers when they're looking to partner with a funder? Obviously, you have the terms and, you know, there's who offers the better terms. But beyond that, what other aspects of a funder are important when making a partnership decision?
I completely agree with you that the economics are really the most important and the most fundamental. But once you kind of get past that, I think there's another element that really gets overlooked often, but is really, really important. And that is timing. Let's keep in mind that these transactions are not simply, you know, you invest in me and then I go away. These are very long-term deals. These cases take a long time, anywhere, you know, depending on what type of case, it can vary, but anywhere from, you know, a year to maybe even on the really long side, 10 years long. So you really have to think of your litigation finance deal as kind of a partnership. Do you want to be talking to these people on this deal during a very stressful situation at 2 o'clock in the morning? I mean, that is not uncommon, right? I mean, do you want to talk to these people every day, every week? Do you want to travel as necessary to a hearing and spend a week with them in a particular, you know, city that's not yours? These are very real and live issues, and conflicts arise more than you think as time goes on these really, really lengthy duration of transaction. And so that's something really important. You want to make sure that you trust and you like the people you're dealing with. It's a lot more than just sort of the numbers on the page.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It is really a partnership. So that does make a ton of sense. And let me ask you the same question, but from an advisory perspective, what sets your firm, Avenue 33, apart from other litigation funding advisors out there?
I'm really glad you're asking me this question, actually, because the truth is, when I was thinking about starting this business, I found that there actually weren't that many businesses doing this. There are several smaller businesses that are, you know, helping with brokerage services, which are really, really important and very successful and smart people. But I found there really were not many people with my background who can provide kind of the same range of services that we at Avenue 33 are providing, which is really service from all the way when you're thinking about taking on a case and a financing, you know, through the monetization. You know, I bring a background, you know, I am not a litigator. I am a private equity transactional lawyer by background. And then, of course, I was a funder for a while. And this combination of background is really not being offered out there. So just like with anything in any business, if you're unsure of the landscape or how you can maximize your value in the industry, you know, you're going to provide an expert to provide guidance and support. And that's what I am, right? That's why I can provide services from very sort of high level guidance to really nitty gritty, getting into documents, getting into the actual management of finances and help from start to finish. So I like working with a variety of companies to provide a bunch of services, but I could also be the point person for these deals. And I've already done that in many circumstances. I've worked for, you know, on deals with Fortune 500 companies, and I've worked on deals for individual plaintiffs. So I have a wide variety of experience, and I can provide a really interesting business perspective that I feel like a lot of the consultancy services out there have not to date. So I think that's one way that this service is interesting. I'm there for the long run.
Yeah, and you mentioned start to finish, and you're there for the long run. What is the finish line for an advisory firm? How involved are you, let's say, post-contract? Does the advisory firm just get the parties to sign the contract, or is there a role for you once the contract has been signed? Are you still involved at that point?
So I think it depends on the circumstance, and I can sort of dip in and out as is necessary for a particular client. But the reality is I have done this from start to finish on several occasions. I mean, this is what I have done before. And I really think the deal just starts when you close the financing. Because this, you know, taking on a litigation financing is not like taking on sort of, I mean, a revolving credit line from Citibank. These, you know, it's hopefully you have a great contract in place, but these things are fluid. And sometimes, you know, whether whether the Bar Association likes it or not, there are certain controls in place that litigation funders have. And, you know, they often, not always, but often take a relatively active role. And so that necessarily means that there is ongoing support that is necessary. And I, you know, as in my prior role at a funder, I sat on several boards and committees and advised several boards and committees throughout the process. You know, unexpected things happen, right? That's part of the excitement of litigation. You never know, for example, the defendant's going to throw an argument your way that is completely unexpected and sort of diverts resources and energy and causes, you know, some kind of issue, right? The budget gets changed and there's suddenly a need for more money, or there's a issue with a partner who has to get kicked out and therefore it changes the factual circumstances. I mean, things happen. That is why there is value in these cases, because they're complicated and they're hard. And they don't just sort of smooth, except for the rare case, right? They don't necessarily just sort of smoothly end. So I think I'm happy to stay involved the whole time, because I think that's where the tricky part lies. And by the whole time, I think what I'm saying is, I mean, until the day when, you know, not just that we get an award from a court, and in certain circumstances, you have to end up actually enforcing that before you can actually put cash in anyone's pocket. So I think when I say through the finish line, I really mean until the day when, you know, money flows into a bank account and everybody takes out their champagne.
Yeah. And that's a great day, obviously.
Of course.
So you've been involved in the funding industry since 2016. Now this is like ancient history here in the US funding industry. That's even before Litigation Finance Journal was founded. We were founded in 2017. So tell me, the industry has obviously evolved since then, sort of at a rapid pace over the last few years. What have been some of the growing pains that you associate with the evolution of the funding industry?
Sure. I agree with you that the rate of evolution of this industry is remarkable. And it is funny because 2016 is not that long ago, although frankly, like now we're in 2020 and it feels like this year has been 20 years, so it feels even longer. But it's really not that long ago. It's just that this market is changing and evolving so, so quickly that it's really important to sort of keep your finger on the pulse of what's actually going on, because as I said, it's changing so fast. And I think, you know, with any new asset class, which is what I consider this to be, right, litigation as an asset, there are going to be mistakes. And there are going to be issues, and there are going to be problems, and there are going to be holes. I mean, I think the most publicly known one is probably the Muddy Waters report that came out about Burford's accounting. That was a big deal. But the reality is it hasn't stopped Burford from finding success or helping its clients pursue success. And, you know, instead, I think what the industry has done, which is smart, and I think the right way to look at it, is to help the industry consider how accounting should be handled, right? I mean, it really was used, I think, maybe people got a good laugh out of it and were able to point fingers for a little while, but the truth is it hasn't stifled growth. And I think that's because people used it as a touchstone to learn from mistakes and to figure out how is accounting appropriate in this industry. And I hope that, you know, we can continue as an industry to do that, right? To learn from our mistakes, chart a new course, and, you know, ultimately lead to kind of survival and, you know, a thriving industry.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned 2020. This year really seems like a real inflection point for the industry. There's just a lot of capital that's now coming into this space. It has been for a little while now, but it looks like it's going to really start pouring in, given, you know, the non-correlation of the asset class. There's a lot of new players emerging and are expected to emerge over the coming years. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of investment opportunities with, you know, a spike in litigation that's predicted across the board. So what do you foresee as the future of the funding industry coming out of this lockdown pandemic over the next few years?
So I think what we're going to see is we're going to see more transparency, less opacity, right? We're going to see more regulation. I really do. But I also think we're going to see a much wider use of this type of financing. Listen, at the end of the day, I think, you know, let's think about this in a really lofty way for a second. The truth is, I believe that this industry is actually promoting justice. I really, truly, in my heart, believe that more meritorious claims are arising because of this industry. Funders are not interested in putting their money in losers. They're not. I mean, that's not the goal. They're funding cases that deserve to be brought to the court. And that, you know, I think is really a really wonderful way to look at it. I mean, on the practical side, I also believe that, you know, there are many, many benefits for lawyers, right? This secures payment for lawyers, which, you know, by reducing credit risk of clients, I mean, it's great for law firms. It's great for lawyers. It's great for investors because it's a place where you can put cash in a non-market correlated asset, right? You don't have to worry about the swings of the market when you put your money in litigation finance. There are different risks, obviously. It's not easy money, but it's not market correlated, and people are looking for that, especially after COVID. And then, of course, for the claimants or plaintiffs, as I said, it's great because it allows people, you know, on the one hand to bring claims that they maybe wouldn't have been able to bring because they couldn't afford it, or in the case of bigger companies, to sort of take their assets, their litigation assets, off their books and make money off of them, you know, whereas before they maybe would have just let them sit. So I really think this can benefit a wide variety of people if it is done right and if it grows properly. And I think one way that that is possible is by sort of leveling out the knowledge field of the various stakeholders. And I think one way to do that is by hiring a consultant who really knows what they're talking about and who knows the industry and who knows how to do these deals because, you know, she's done them many, many, many times before. So, you know, I hope that helps. And I personally look forward to contributing to maximizing value associated with litigation finance for all stakeholders.
Yeah, that's really great. And it's great to see a new advisory firm pop up. And you're right, there really aren't too many of them out there. So we're excited for your success. So Rebecca, thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing your thoughts on litigation finance and on your advisory firm. We really appreciate you coming on here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
And if you're interested in Rebecca's firm, you can visit them at their website, www.avenue33llc.com. You can find out all you need to know about Rebecca and Avenue 33 there. And thank you all for listening. This was a great episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you on the next one at the Litigation Finance Podcast.